Anyway, what a wonderful time and a gathering we have today, Friends and Family Sunday. And normally we greet our visitors at the end of the service, but we wanted to acknowledge our visitors today at the beginning of the service because it's a special day and we have a special gift that we want to share with. I'm just delighted because this, as divine appointment would have it. So you're all here by divine appointment. Even those of you who invited friends, you're here by divine appointment. Because we know in unity and in New Thought, nothing happens by accident, right? Everything, every moment is by a divine appointment. And so it just so happens that the divine also had scheduled a family reunion for me and my family at the very same time. And it wasn't that, you know, I planned it around Friends and Family Sunday, but that's how the divine works sometimes, right? So usually my family used to gather every Thanksgiving when my grandmother was alive and her sisters, my great aunts, and my other aunts and uncles, they were all alive. We would gather down in the family home, which is Seaford, Virginia. And we would have a wonderful time, big celebration. However, we never really had a family reunion where we just made the call for everybody to come and to be together. And so one of the younger cousins decided that this would be the time for us to do that because, you know, we kind of lost a tradition when the elders have moved on. Sometimes people then moved into their own individual silos with their families, and we no longer gathered together. And I don't know, I sent the picture for Tracy for the, I don't know whether they were able to take that picture or to put it up. Yeah, that's us at our family gathering. And so we have all generations. We have, you know, down to four or five generations that are from the head who was called Papa Charlie. And these are the descendants of Papa Charlie down to either fourth or fifth generation. So we had, again, gathered. We met cousins we hadn't seen before or known before. And it was really a great time. The food was delicious. We played Jingle on the side. You can see that. What's it called? Jingle, the thing where you pull the... Oh, so we played that, and that was really a lot of fun. Yesterday, I wasn't able to go back over, but I understood they played some Bidwis and Spades. See, they were afraid. They already knew. They knew. So I missed that on the Bidwis, so I could really show them what I'm about. But it was a great time and a great gathering nonetheless. And so I am just glad to have my family who's getting settled in here. And if my family could, that's my cousin getting ready to sit, but you know what? If my family could just stand for a minute too, those of you who can stand, do just stand so we can, these are not all, but these are just my immediate family. I've got my mom and my brother. My youngest brother had to drive back this morning, but my oldest brother's here. And raise your hand. That's Gene, my oldest brother. And his son and my niece. That's my nephew and niece, Gene Jr. And there's my cousin Terry and my cousin Kenneth. Those are my cousins there. And wonderful cousin-in-law Sandra, who are here with me. And Denise, my cousin-in-law. So, and is that Kim over there? Oh, and Kim. Okay. Wonderful. And my cousin Kim. So give my family some love. You know, there's nothing like family. Nothing like family, provided you have a good one. And thank God I do. I have a good family. But there's some good news and not so good news about family. Because the good news is that you don't really get to choose them, right? And you're gifted with them from the divine. And the bad news is, you don't get to choose them. You are gifted with them as well. And, you know, family can be a tremendous blessing. They can be a touchstone for your soul when you might be out there in the wilderness and you just need some grounding or something. You need to be in touch with someone or something that you know loves you and appreciates you and knows you and sees you and values to get you back on track, to get you centered. So family is good for that because they can bless our spirits and our souls. They are our familia. You know, that which we are familiar with, there's something that helps us to feel that we're connected, that we belong. You know, we have our people, our tribe, and we feel safety in the sense of belonging and being connected to them. Family can teach you great and do teach you oftentimes valuable lessons. Because if you think about it, your first lessons about relationships, because your first relationship that you have is with your family, right? Mother, father, or even a guardian or someone. But when you're younger, you have a connection, a relationship with siblings or whatever. And how that relationship is formed will have a great impact on your life, how you then go forth and have relationships and friendships with others, depending upon your familiar relationship. And hopefully, again, and prayerfully, it was, you know, a good one. But family can stretch you, right? They can stretch you. They can pull on your heartstrings. You know, you say, oh, God, you hear bad news about the family. Oh, no. You know, but they can also get on your nerves. They can get on your nerves real, real bad, right? They can make you face yourself like nobody else can because they kind of know certain aspects of you. You know, I like to laugh sometimes when we get together. My brother, he likes to, you know, remind me to keep me humble or whatever, and remind me of maybe when I was running around the house trying to beat up him and his friends, or I was screaming or yelling, you know, so I don't get too far out there. He reminds me of all the things because we're only a year apart. So basically, I've known him all my life, and he's known me all of my life and knows a lot, you know, about me. So they're wonderful in terms of teaching you. They can teach you tolerance and acceptance because there are members in the family that, you know, not necessarily tolerate, but you must accept because they are what? They are yours. They are a part of your family. You know, so, you know, they teach you certain things. They also bring you that sense of deep longing. Everybody longs to belong. Everybody wants to belong. And if you go to an orphanage or to a place where, you know, young children do not have necessarily biological family, there's a longing to belong that they have. And so, you know, they're seeking that. They are, the family is the ties that binds us all together. And hopefully they bind us to the good aspects of belonging, the good aspects of family and community. But here's some good news, because if they don't, you know, God forbid you did not have a family that caused you to feel a sense of deep connection and safety and security and the ability to unfold and grow as your authentic true self and to love you and accept you just as you are. If you did not have that, this is by divine design as well, because you can always then choose your friends who become your family. That's the good news. We can always choose our family as well. And we all, you know, we certainly know the value of having some good friends. Good friends, right? If you, even if you only have one good friend, because that's all it takes, really. One good friend, a good friend, will be a true blessing to you because they become like family. You can count on them through thick and thin. You know, you can really move forward with them. Here's some quotes. I love that on friendship. This one I found is an adaptation of Proverbs 27, verse 19. But it says, in essence, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Right? Let me see your friends. Now, your family, you ain't got nothing. You can't help that. But show me your friends. Show me who you commune with. Show me who you break bread with. Show me who you hang out with. Show me who you cherish. And that will tell me who you are. All right? We were laughing, my brother and I probably shouldn't say this, but anyway, we were talking about another cousin who wasn't able to make it to the family reunion, and we were all laughing because we used to say when we were younger, if this cousin asks you to go hang out with him, you best not. Because no telling where you were going to end up and with whom you were going to end up. It was always kind of dicey, you know. But he had a good heart, so that's fine. But you knew. So that's important, who we associate with in terms of friends. And Shakespeare put it this way. He said, a friend is the one that knows who you are, understands where you've been, accepts what you've become, and still gently allows you to grow. And I like that. Because a true friend, they know where you've been and they know what you've become, but they don't limit you to that parameters. They also give you the ability to change and to grow. They can see you, you know, as you're becoming. They know that God is not finished with you yet. You know, as I was writing this, I was missing my good friend, one of my best friends, Cynthia Henderson, who made a transition. But that girl knew me inside. I could be my total self. She could see my calling. She saw the good essence and the God essence because God spoke to her about who I was and the work I was doing. And she said God told her to walk the journey with me, and she did. But she also saw me in my raw state. She saw me when I was, you know, my not so good, whatever my flaws or issues or whatever would be. And she was able to see that, call that out, and love me anyway. That's a good friend, right? Where they can allow you to have your failings, because guess what? We are all going to fail at something. We are all going to show up a little bit tainted in this area or that area. Everybody's got something, right? There's no perfect person here. But when you find the people that somehow are able to love you through that, love you in spite of that, to call you out for the good, you know, in the midst of all of that, then you have something. You have a good friend that can walk with you through your journey of life. That's what we're seeking. There's power in both family, but there's also power in friends. And both of them play a significant part in the quality of our lives. Right? People who feel that they don't have any friends are really lost. Right? There's a disconnect to life if you don't have any friends. Again, family, you might not have any choice over. Maybe your family is gone. But if you have no friends, that speaks volumes. And it's very hard to move through life with no one to connect to care about, or who cares about you or can connect with you. So I want to take this time to thank all of the congregants who actually brought some family members and friends out with them. And I want to thank you because you brought them to worship with us, to come together, to be in community with us, to be a part of the collective. Because you see, we're always blessed by the collective energy. Whenever there's a gathering where two or more or three have gathered together in my name, in my nature, there am I what? In the midst of them. So the more we come together, the more that presence of the Christ of good, the goodness of God, is in the midst of us. So we're always grateful when new souls enter into our midst, when we have new people coming to say, we'll worship with you in this experience. You know, so we thank you for bringing all of your friends and your family to be with us today. Because we are better together. And in the days that are coming, you know, I've been talking about this, about the days that are ahead of us. And in the days that are ahead of us, friends, we are going to need family and friends. We're going to need to be in community together. We're going to need each other perhaps more than we've ever needed each other before. We're going to have to extend the phrase of who is my neighbor? Because this is just what I'm feeling in my soul. There are going to be times and instances where it seems like we're going to be fragmented. And we're going to have to learn, let me come together. I might have to give some food to my neighbor who doesn't have a job, and or the cost of food has risen, and they're talking about the price of eggs. Maybe it's $10, $20. They don't have it. I might have to extend that, and my friends might have to do something for me. So this is by divine appointment. You know, I was all upset about, like everybody else, about the election and what happened. But also I know that everything is in divine order and everything unfolds. And this could be the mechanism that draws us finally together, people on this planet, people on this earth, together as one family. When I used to go to India and I would study, they had a phrase that they would say that the world is family. And we would have to meditate on that. The world is family. We are all brothers and sisters. We're all in the same boat. Okay? So to see, yeah, I am my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper. You are my, the Native Americans call everything my relations. You are my relationship. You are my friend. You are my family. We belong together. And we are going to be given the opportunity to demonstrate that, to live that out. So what a blessing it is for us to know that we are here for a divine purpose. And this is all by divine design. There are no mistakes. God does not make mistakes. So while we are celebrating Friends and Family Sunday and our ability to come together, we are also in the midst of the Advent season. So this, you know, we're celebrating Advent. And for those of you who may or may not know, Advent means the arrival. It's preparation for the arrival. And it is the first 4 weeks before Sundays, before Christmas. And in this time, these 4 weeks, we are to prepare ourselves and the world is to prepare for the birth of the Christ. Now, Advent has four themes to it, traditionally. And the first theme, the first week is around what? Hope. And we talked about that last week. The second week is peace. And the third and fourth week, sometimes, you know, some traditions, some churches do it different. Some have it joy and then followed by love. Some have love and followed by joy. It doesn't matter. We're going to do hope, peace, joy, and love. And maybe next week I might switch it. I don't know. But those are the things, right? And so today, the second week of Advent, the second Sunday of Advent, before this arrival, this anticipation, this birth of ourselves as spiritual beings on the planet, that's what we're really celebrating, right? That Christ within us. This week is on peace. And when I thought of the word peace, I thought I heard the angel's proclamation. And it said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and what? Goodwill towards men. And men includes everybody. You know, that's just the old archaic language. But goodwill toward everyone. And as I was contemplating this, I thought, well, that one phrase actually serves to tell us how to achieve peace on earth. Think about what it says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So as I was meditating, I said, well, that's the solution. That's the process. That's the answer. That's the solution. Because Lord knows we're looking for some peace on earth, right? We're looking for some peace on earth, the peace in our country, the peace in our family. We're looking for peace. But it says peace on earth. So that gives us a key that somehow peace on earth must have something to do with goodwill towards men, goodwill towards people, goodwill towards all of God's people. So I'm thinking, well, the amount of goodwill that we can extend towards people will determine the amount of peace we have on earth. Kindness, compassion, goodness, acceptance, tolerance, honoring, valuing, respecting, supporting God's people is what will bring peace on earth. Now that seems so simple, right? How much kindness can you extend to God's people? How much goodness? How much forgiveness? How much understanding? How much tolerance are you willing to extend? Because that's the relative amount of peace you shall have in your experience. So I'm thinking, what if everyone wished only the best or the highest good for all people? If everybody on the earth wished only the highest good or the best for every single living being on earth, guess what? There would be what? Peace on earth. Peace on earth. So it must have something to do with how much good we are willing to extend to the other. So instead of wishing everybody the highest good, we like to say in unity, I'm praying for the highest good of all concerned. Not just the highest good of some, not just the highest good of those people who I like, but the highest good for all concerned. Because when we all win, we all win. Right? But instead, it seems that everybody is sort of out for themselves, right? It's like, I got mine, you got to get yours, I got mine, I'm good. And so we fail to somehow see the connection of the whole, of the collective, that we are part of the whole. We like to think, oh, I'm separate from, I got me and mine in this corner, you all are out there. Everybody is a part of the whole. And if you were to go into outer space and you look back on this planet, would you see individual people? Would you see individual countries? You know what you would see? A big mass of blue and water, and that's it. And everybody on that is a part of that human family, that human dynamic. But when we're here, when we're on this end, we start looking for the separation. I'm a part of this tribe. I'm a part of that. We speak this way. We look that way. But out of space, you don't look anywhere. You look the same way as everybody else. Even the earth looks the same. There's no distinction. And so this whole concept of, you know, me and mine has to evolve. As we evolve, and we're in the state of evolution, we are here to evolve. We are evolving our consciousness. We're not like the Neanderthal man. We are evolving into the high species of spiritual beings on this earth. And as we evolve, our mindset must change. We must raise from just a little looking here and raise up your consciousness, your vision, to see the whole, to be a part of the whole, a part of the collective, a part of all of God's creation, of which every living being is, and every living thing is a part of the whole. I love this quote from Paramahansa Yogananda. He says, when you learn to live for others, they will live for you. Living for others. Are you living just for yourself or are you living for others? Because we in this together. I don't win unless you win, right? I'm not going to be raised up unless you are raised up. What is the phrase? Something about a rising ship raises all boats. Right, all boats. We all get to rise when we continue to remember that we are a part of this whole. Now, the call, of course, is for building and establishing goodwill towards others. That's what it said. Peace on earth, God's will towards men. So that is the call for us to build and establish some type of goodwill towards others. But here's the other part of that, and this is the truth. We know that you cannot give what you yourself do not have. So while the call is to share that goodwill with others, right? But you cannot give what you yourself do not have. Peace, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, acceptance, they all have to start with self. Everything, this is how we teach and think in New Thought. Everything begins with you. You set everything off into motion, right? So everything begins with you. So I cannot offer peace if I cannot feel peace within myself. I can't offer you peace if I'm lacking peace within my own heart and my own mind. If my mind is filled with anger and hurt and retribution and revenge and jealousy, well, I can't offer peace to anybody, all right? I can't offer love and forgiveness if I lack love and forgiveness towards my own self. I can't offer that to you if I'm not willing to offer that to myself. Right? So this is the thing. I can't offer you acceptance, others, to accept them as they are if I can't accept myself. Everything begins with self. That's the starting place. But, you know, but because things start with self, we may find it quite difficult sometimes to look at self, to own our stuff, to be able to call ourselves out, to be able to see our flaws and our shortcomings. And that's a hard thing. So it feels easier if we could put all those things on other people. If I could put the emphasis on you, the blame on you, right? The faults on you. The world would be a better place if it weren't for these people. My home would be, I'd have a happy home if it wasn't for my spouse. I'd be really doing good in life and being a success if it wasn't for. See, it's easier to see outside of ourselves than to take the time to recognize that we are in control of our own inner self. So what happens is when we begin to, because if I can't see what's in me, then what I don't like in you really is telling about what I don't like in myself. We know it's projection, right? Everybody's aware of that. And because of that, but we don't go around saying, well, you know, I'm projecting right now. No, it's still you. It's your fault. So when we get into that state, that leads to this sense of judgmentalness, being less tolerant, because it's easy for me to judge you rather than judge myself. So what happens is it leads to a lack of tolerance for others, and other people's faults begin to loom large, because I can't see my own, but I can see yours, and that's the way that the Spirit has it, so I can see myself, but I'm not aware that I'm really looking at myself when I'm looking at you. So I then, your faults begin to loom large. What I don't like in me, I'm going to project that here, and I'm going to see it in you. Now, when we look out and we begin to see the faults of others before we can see our own, it becomes problematic. And I look at the scripture that's found in Matthew 7 through verses 3 through 5. And I want to read from the NI version, the New International Version, the Living Version, and the Message. So this is what it says. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use. You want to be harsh? Okay, you're going to experience some harsh, right? It'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And the New Living says quite similar, but it says, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. I love that one, but my favorite is from the Message, because you know they're going to break it down. So they say, the Message says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling road show mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe away that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. All right. So, you know, when I read that one, I said, yeah, okay.
So we've got to stop, you know, it's just speck versus the log, right? And so the call is for us to stop trying to be what I call a speck investigator. You know those kind of people, they're investigating and looking and, oh, yeah, you know, you're not perfect. Oh, I see this fault, I see that. Stop being a speck investigator and try being a log remover. Get your own house in order. Take out, so how are you seeing? What is the perspective you're bringing to the situation, right? How are you approaching life before you try to figure out how others should be approaching life? What are you doing? So what are the things that are happening in your own being that are preventing you from seeing yourself clearly? You know, other people can always see you sometimes a little better than, we all got what, blind spots, right? We don't want to highlight our faults. But other people are like, they flashing red light. They see us, right? So what are the things that are preventing you from seeing yourself and seeing your life clearly? What is happening in your life? Because there are always other people that are going to put off what's happening to them in life is somebody else's fault. You didn't give me enough love. You didn't do this enough. You didn't do that enough. So this is the reason why my life turned out this way. Or maybe you gave them too much. And the same thing can happen. You've done everything for them, gave them too much, and then they resent you for giving them too much. Right? So what's in it for you that you are able to see? What is getting in the way of you experiencing, you know, inner peace? Inner peace. Because until you can figure out what you need to let go of, how to clean up and clear up your own ability to see God, to see truth, to see the good, we like to say, you know, see the good. I think we did a talk a couple of weeks ago. It was, you know, see the good and what, and praise it. See that good and praise it. Bring it out. Focus on what's good about that soul. And bring, because the more you focus on that, the more of that will come out. But the more you focus on the faults and the limitations and all that, guess what? You're just going to bring more of that out. What are you seeing? And once you figure out what you want to do, what is stopping you in your own life, then you can move towards sharing the good news towards others. If you can figure out what's holding you back from loving, holding you back from being compassionate, holding you back from being your authentic self, living fully and freely, once you figure that out, then you're willing to let everybody else live their life, be their best selves, right? Live up to their highest potential. And when you come from that consciousness, then you're able to receive more of God's blessings because you're open. The more open you are, the more God's good can flow into your being. The more we block ourselves and log ourselves up with hatred, division, scarcity, whatever it is, limitation, it's harder for the good to get through to us. So open up and share and receive that blessing. And the more we can do that, then we can offer, or we can share, or we can express goodwill towards others because, you know, we're free. We're free. Nothing's in the way. You know, one of the good things I will say about receiving my diagnosis was that it has freed me up quite a bit. The things that I thought were so important, I'm like, you know what? I ain't got time to put that energy on that. I need to let that go. I got energy to what? To bring healing to myself. And so I'm quicker now. I find it's quicker. I just let stuff go. Where in the past, I would be offended by how they're offending me. Now I don't give a hoot. That's on you. I don't care. I don't got time for that. I let it go. The more I'm willing to be forgiving, it's easier for me to give because I don't have time to hold that limited negative energy in my body and in my mind. I have to let it go. And so I'm like, okay, this is a blessing. This is a good thing. I don't have time. I don't want to fuss with you. I don't want to fight with you. Mm-mm. Go on. Do what you need to do. You do you and I'm going to do me. Because when I do me and I get myself out of the way, then I can bless you, share goodwill with you, forgive you, love you, bring acceptance of you as well as myself. Peace on earth. God's will towards others equates to sharing God's goodwill towards them. That's what it is. That's the secret, right? And what would be God's will towards others, right? If we're sharing God, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We say in unity, goodwill is God's will. So what would God will for the other? It's the same that God would will for you, right? Peace, love, light, harmony, blessings, abundance, joy, health, happiness, wellness, connectedness, prosperity, all of the fruit of the Spirit. God wills that for you. And if God wills that for you, we have that to be able to will and share towards and with others. Everything. What is God's will? We have in New Thought, we say God's will for you is absolute good. God is not willing for you to have evil. God is not willing for your downfall. God is not willing that you suffer. God is willing. Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wills for you absolute good. And if that's the case, if we can receive that, then we will that towards others. We share that towards others. Everything is good that comes of God. So can you wish everyone and everything good? See, that's the ultimate challenge. That's where the rubber meets the road. Can you will good for everyone? Even those people that you would deem your enemies. Even those people who don't look like you, think like you, act like you, dress like you, breathe like you, you know, who are just simply not you. Can you still or do horrible things? What about those people who have what you would consider low morals and low standards and, you know, things that you would not, who would not show up as somehow worthy of your time and energy and essence? Can you still wish good for them? This is why this is one of the hard teachings in the Beatitudes, where Jesus said, you know, you got to pray for those who use you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. I don't want to pray for them. Pray for them, because there's an energy in that. Can you do that? It frees you up. It heals you. It blesses you. And until we can get to the point where you can wish goodwill for everybody, we're going to have a stumbling block in our path that will prevent us from having peace on earth. Because everybody's out for themselves. We say, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to love with conditions. I'm going to love you, but I got requirements to see if you're actually worthy. I have standards to see if you meet, if you're worthy and deserving of my love. What if God ever said, you know what? I'm going to see if you are deserving and worthy of my goodwill towards you. We'd all be in trouble. Every single one of us. But yet we put those conditions and that sense of worthiness or who deserves it and who doesn't deserve. You don't deserve my love. You're not worthy of my love. Why not? Why not? If we are all worthy of God's love, then everybody is worthy also of our love. Because we're one. We can't be separated from each other. We're not separate from God. The Spirit of the living God flows to us and through us. And we are here for a divine purpose, to do good on earth, right? To establish peace on earth, to spread goodwill towards others, to bring forth the goodness, the godness that is available for everyone. So everyone is worthy and deserving of God's blessing. And we have to just recognize that we want to bless everyone anyway. We want to do good anyway. And it made me think of Mother Teresa's poem, and I hope Reverend Cheryl was so good, she printed it out for me. And it's called Do It Anyway. Let me hear you say, do it anyway. Do it anyway. So it says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find sincerity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough.
Give your best anyway. And then she says this, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. I love that. I love that. So we have a work to do, friends, together as a collective. People are going to be seeking you out for your light. People are going to be in need of love and forgiveness and compassion, and maybe even physical provisions, whatever it is. Offer, give it anyway. If we are to establish peace on earth, we must be about doing God's will, right, towards all people. And the thing that I love is that we are all in this together. So let's be about our work, and let's do it anyway. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings.